Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. Oswald Chambers once said, "Christian perfection isn't predicated on performance, but on the perfection of a relationship." In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Genesis chapter 26, starting in verse 17, ending in chapter 27, verse 23. Where he'll be talking about how our Christian walks are not about being perfect. It is, though, about being close to Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 26, verse 17.
And they drank. And in verse 31, it tells us, they rose up betimes in the morning, and they swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass, verse 32, the same day that Isaac's servants came and told them concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. It's an important discovery here, as Beersheba is on the edge of the desert. Hey, listen, we have found water. God is blessing this place that we are supposed to be in. There's water for crops. There's water for washing ourselves. There's water to drink to satisfy our body's needs. We have this source of water. There's this provision there. It's not dried up. God's blessing the place that he's supposed to be in. God is blessing. That's what God wants to do with you and I. He's not trying to be harsh. He's not trying to be a control freak and keep you from enjoying pleasures of this life. What he's trying to do is say, hey, listen, I want to bring you to a place where I can shower you with my blessings. I want to open up the floodgate of heavens and rain blessings upon you. I want to rain blessings all over your life. But I need you to come back to that place that you're to be in where we can have communion with one another. I need you to come to that place that I've called you to, that you left on your own and you went out and wandered. You need to forsake those things and come back. Come back to your first love and do your first works. And he called it, verse 33, this place of water. He called it Shebath, which is an oath. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba, even unto this day. Verse 34, this kind of carries us in now into chapter 27. It says this. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And so he marries pagans. He marries women that didn't love Jesus Christ. He marries women that were outside that covenant relationship with the Lord. And it says in verse 35 that it was a grief to the mind of Isaac and to Rebekah. Now, it's kind of obvious. And I don't want to be redundant, but I got to kind of hit this real quick. If you're here tonight and you're single and you're looking to mingle, I just had to use that word. It just rhymed. It was there. If you're single and you're looking to mingle, for real though, and you're trying to find somebody to be with, don't settle for an unbeliever. It will never work. You will never make it. It will never happen. Wait on the Lord to bring to you that person that loves the Lord just as much, if not more, than you do. Wait on the Lord for a person that is in love with Jesus Christ. Don't go for somebody that's just at church because you're at church and they're trying to hook up with you. You girls that guys say to you, hey, I heard you're a Christian. You know, witness to me. Let's go out on a date alone together on Friday night and witness to me. The Spirit of God doesn't need you to go out on a date with those scumbags and witness to them. The Spirit of God will reveal himself. Use discernment. Wait on the Lord like Adam, be in a deep sleep until he brings that spouse to you. It's a lot easier to be single, remember, and want to be married than it is to be married and to want to be single. You understand? It's a lot easier to be single and wait on the Lord, even if you don't think it is, and want to be married than to be married and think, man, I wish I was single. Because once you're married, you're married. And that's it. You wait on the Lord and let him bring that person to you that loves the Lord the way that you do or the way that you're desiring to. Verse 31 of chapter 27, about 30 years later now, after these events of Isaac returning to Beersheba, about 30 years have passed, and it says this, it came to pass that when Isaac was an old man, he was 137 years old at this point, his eyes were dim so that he could not see, and he called Esau, his eldest son, and he said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here I am. Verse 2, he said, behold, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. And so he's getting up there. I mean, he's 137, and he's thinking, I'm going to die soon. I'm the same age, in fact, that my brother Ishmael was when he died. If you remember as Bible students, Ishmael died at 137 years old. So he's beginning to think now, you know, the end of my days is near. I need to call you in and have a talk with you. Where little does he know, he's going to live for another 43 years. Isaac doesn't die until he's 180 years old. But at this time, 137, I understand, he thinks he's about to drop dead. And so in verse 3 it says, here's my direction, Esau. Take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Now, something we're going to see in this chapter about Isaac and company, about Isaac, Rebecca, Esau, and Jacob, is that it's a very sad commentary of their lives. It's one of those things, and I'm sure most of you can't relate, but maybe you can. Have you ever had it where your household's a wreck and you're so embarrassed that the neighbors might hear you or somebody from church might walk by or drive by or something like that? You guys probably never have gone through that, right? Where everyone's screaming and fighting and there's friction and strife and you're embarrassed. You just think, gosh, I hope nobody sees us. Maybe you're going to get in your car tonight or it happens often. The kids are fighting. You're fighting with your spouse. Everybody's fighting and everyone's getting totally ripped off. No one's probably had that happen before either, right? You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Well, these things happen in some people's lives, even though you guys don't know. These things could happen sometimes and you can get so ripped off. I can't look at some of your faces. You guys are too much. I'm going to look at the back wall from now on. And so you're in these situations where you're embarrassed, right? And you're going through these things. This is one of those chapters where if they had a say, they'd be like, Lord, let's skip this chapter. Like, let's just not put this chapter in there because Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Esau are all a wreck in this chapter. It shows you the reality and the depravity of their hearts. Even though God is going to use his family tremendously and still bring to pass his desire and his will through them. It's amazing how God does this. He chooses us. I always think this, like, because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't even know what's going to happen tonight. But then when tomorrow comes or tonight comes and when it's coming to pass, I think, man, Lord, I just slipped up and messed up so bad. Did you know that that was going to happen last year when you called me to pastor this church? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that sometimes, like, Lord, I know he knows, but it's like it blows me away that he knows my imperfections. He knows my weaknesses, my vulnerabilities, and yet he still calls me. Doesn't that blow you away? That God's like, I'm still going to use you. I still have chosen you, not just to use you on this life, but to give you eternity in heaven. And I already knew the mess ups you were going to make. When he chose Peter, and when he declared to Peter about his confession that he is Lord, that Jesus is Lord, he said, upon that confession, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He knew when he declared that statement to Peter that Peter was going to deny him. He knew that Peter was going to deny him three times like a little schoolgirl and run and hide and be shamefaced when his Lord was going to be crucified. And then later on in Acts chapter 2, right after the ascension of Jesus Christ back into heaven, there's Peter at the pulpit preaching to a crowd of thousands, preaching the gospel like no other, and people are getting saved. I mean, that is the grace of God. This is the same man that just days before was saying, I don't even know the man. I swear I don't even know the man. So the encouragement of the word of God, that he sees your life from beginning to end, and he knew you were going to blow it in areas that you've blown it in. He knew you were going to mess up. He knows your frailties. In fact, the psalmist says that he pities you, knowing that you are just dust. I take great encouragement in that, don't you? That my Lord knows I'm just dust. He knew my weaknesses. He knew my depravity. He knew the state that I would be in when he called me, but he called me in spite of myself. You see, this family here, they're dysfunctional. You can make a reality show about this family. I mean, you watch some of these reality shows, and they're the most annoying shows on TV. These people drive you crazy. I can't stand half of these reality shows of these families that are on the air. It's just like watching people act like a bunch of idiots, and they're making millions and millions of dollars. This would be a perfect reality show family. You got Harry, and then you got Heel Catcher. I mean, you got these kids that are a wreck, and these parents that are, you know, they play favorites, and just this family that is completely dysfunctional, that God's going to bring the Messiah of the world in through. Just an incredible testimony of the grace of God. But we see here in verse 3 that Isaac, in his mind, on his deathbed, calls his son Esau to him, and he's like, listen, can you do me a favor and go get me some venison? Now, I want to point something out to you. Seven times in this chapter, you might want to make note of this. Seven times in this chapter, venison is used, okay? Savory meat is used 6 times, and the word eat is used 8 times. You kind of get the idea here of what's driving Isaac, what his motivation is. It's fleshly desires. He says to him in verse 4, make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul, now listen, may bless thee before I die. Now this is blatant rebellion on Isaac's end. God told Isaac and Rebecca before his twins were ever even born that the blessing was on Jacob, that Jacob, the younger one, was to be served by Esau, the older one. God declared his will for the family's matter, but he blatantly goes against it. He blatantly says, I don't care what God says through action. I want to bless you. Even though he knew the blessing was for Jacob. What is the point, Dave? Why are you bringing this up? The point is that we could cool. We can cool in our walks with the Lord. At one time, we could be so on fire for the Lord and so submissive to his word and to his will. But if we don't guard our hearts, if we don't stay close to him, if we don't stay in his word, we can cool. And before you know it, we can wander. And perhaps you're here tonight and you're thinking, well, I don't know what to do. I'm in a place of I don't know what to do because I've wandered and I'm cooled and I don't know what to do at this point. Well, I can tell you this, you know what you're not to do, so don't do those things. And as you don't do what you're not to do, God's going to bless you and he's going to reveal to you what you are to do. And as you go back to that place of Beersheba, God's going to reveal to you his will and he's going to give you vision once again. He's going to restore vision for you. We as sheep should not be walking around aimlessly wondering, what is my point in this life? What am I supposed to do? And being torn between these carnal matters. We need to be going forward with the Lord and saying, I have a grasp on what God's call is for my life. I have a vision. I have a clarity of what he wants to do. Here, Isaac in blatant rebellion, he says, Esau, you come to me. Go get me some food, man. Go hunt me some venison, bring it back, cook me that stew that I like. And if you do this, if you satisfy my flesh, if you get me what makes me happy, I will go completely against God and I will bless you. I'll give you what you're longing for in your heart, even though God said no. You see, something that the Lord's been dealing with me on before we move on here is self. Self is amazing. Self is amazing, not in a good sense. Self is amazing in a bad sense. Self is like this. Self is, I love what I love, and I want what I want. And so, therefore, I'll do anything to appease the Spirit. I'll let you tithe, Spirit. You know, for me, we'll use Dave. I'll let you tithe. I'll let you go to church. I'll even let you get behind this pulpit and preach sermons. I'll let you read your Bible in the morning. I'll let you pray. But I will not let you put me on the cross. Self will do anything but go to the cross. Self doesn't want anything to do with the cross. And that's the only remedy for self. That's the only solution that we have for self. You see, because if we compromise and give self just a little bit, if we compromise and give self just a little measure of our lives, before you know it, self will completely take over. And before you know it, we'll be fulfilling the lusts of our flesh thereof, where God said, don't even make provision for it. And we're going to find ourselves in a place of compromise that will eventually lead to sin. And so there's this great danger here of looking to feed self in the flesh. And that's exactly what Isaac is doing. He's like, listen, I don't care what God's, you know, word has to say. I mean, he's not blatantly saying it, but his actions are. You go get me that meat that I love, and if you do that, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to reward you for it. Well, it tells them, verse 5, that Rebekah heard this. When Isaac spoke to Esau, check it, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Now, in verse 6, Rebekah, she spake unto Jacob, her son. You notice the favoritism here. Rebekah's son is Jacob, Esau's son, or Isaac's son, is Esau. She said, behold, I have heard your father speak unto Esau, your brother. And he said, bring me venison, verse 7, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and that I may bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, verse 9, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And you bring it to your dad, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And in verse 11, Jacob, he says to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. Now, I feel it necessary to tell you this at this point. Jacob is 77 years old. When you're 77 years old, guys, it's time, you know, where you don't necessarily listen to your mom anymore and you listen to the Lord. Here's this kid, this guy, this old man. He's a mama's boy. His mom is like, listen, you gotta do this thing. You gotta go and you gotta bring this stew to your dad, because if you don't beat your brother to it, you're gonna miss out on the blessing. And I heard the voice of God. You're the one who's supposed to get the blessing. How many times are we in that situation? God needs my help. God, here I am to the rescue. I'm here to help you. I can see you're distraught here, Lord. We have a mess on our hands. I know you need my help here, so I'm going to jump right into this, and I'm going to fix this, Lord, because you're not doing what needs to be done quick enough. And Lord, I know it's you, because you already spoke to me and showed me that this is what you want to do, and since somebody's trying to get in the way, I have to react. How many times do we react to things? How many times do we do things hastily because we don't sense that God is moving fast enough? And we're not patient. We don't want to wait and see how he's going to work it out. And instead of resting in the promises that he has made, we say, we have to get involved. And we roll up our sleeves and we put our hands in the mix and we make a mess. I think, honestly, that Rebekah's intentions in her own mind, and this is the problem with our own minds and our own hearts, when people come to me and they say, oh, in my own mind, in my own heart, I never meant to do this thing. Well, that's the problem. You can't go by what's in your own mind and your own heart. You can't do that. You can't trust in your own mind and in your own heart. I think Rebekah, honestly, was sincere. I think her thing was like, this is really the chosen one. This is the son. This is the twin that is supposed to be used to bring the Messiah into the world. I have to do something quick. God is running out of time. And she gets involved in Jacob, that mama's boy at 77 years old. He says, mommy, but Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father, verse 12, peradventure will feel me. And listen, I shall seem to him as a deceiver. No, Jacob, you're not going to seem to him as a deceiver. You are a deceiver. Why aren't we honest with ourselves? When we go before the Lord and we're supposed to repent and we're supposed to spend this time with him and get right and get honest. I mean, God's awesome. He won't in any way cast anyone out that comes to him. Whosoever shall come to him, he'll receive. All he's asking for is honesty. But even when we come to God, we come to him and we're like, well, God, I kind of, you know, blew it in this area. I kind of did this thing, Lord. You know, I'm kind of falling short. And say, no, you are falling short. You did do this thing. You are in blatant sin. You are guilty of these things. Just say it. Call a spade a spade. I've experienced the blessings of God in doing that. That you just come to God. God, I am a nasty scumbag, dirtbag, Lord. That I am an adulterer. I am a thief. I am a murderer, Lord. I killed my boss today in my thoughts. I'm guilty. I'm not as one of these people. I'm not seeming to be like these types of people. I am that. I'm a sinner, God, in desperate need. That's where the healing begins. You want healing in your life tonight, get honest with God. You want healing in your life tonight. You want revival in your life tonight. You want victory in your life tonight. Get honest with your Lord. Tell him the truth. He's not blown away. He's not shocked by how vile you are. Listen to this. Let me have your attention for a few more minutes and I'll wrap it up. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary and he experienced the weight of the sin of the world upon him, you think that your sin presently right now that you singularly are in is going to be heavier than the sin of the world? He experienced the sin of the most vile, wicked people. Those people such as the Nazis, those people such as Hitler, those people that have been murderers, that have killed innocent babies, people who have raped and molested children. I mean, you talk about some vile, wicked sin. You think that your singular sin is more heavy than the sin of the whole entire world. There's no way that you can think that. There's no way that you can possibly make that argument. God received the sin of the world upon him. He took on the sin of the world completely in its entirety upon him. You can't impress God by how sinful you are. You can't come to God and stump him and find him in a place of, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit and Father, what are we going to do? I've never experienced a sinner like this before. And here's the reason why. Because every sin is on the same playing field with God. There is no greater sin. The only sin that can't be forgiven, as I've said so many times, is the sin of never repenting. You understand? That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is never repenting. And if you're concerned about that sin, then you haven't gone there yet. Because once you get there, your heart is so hard that you won't even care if you blaspheme the Spirit of God. Because you're that numb to his conviction. If you're here tonight, and you're guilty, and you know you're guilty, and you feel guilty, and you feel dirty, and you're anxious to repent, you're in a great place. That means the Spirit of God is actively at work in your life. If you're here tonight, and you're not paying attention to me, and you're falling asleep, and you're daydreaming, and you could care less about repentance, you don't want to hear about this. This church is heavy. This church is condemning. This church is this. This church is that. And you're trying to justify yourself. You are in danger. You're in danger because your heart is hardened. It's callous to the conviction of the Spirit of God. Lord, it doesn't seem to me that I'm like this. I am like this. I'm a wretch. Lord, I've blown it. Lord, it doesn't seem to me that I might have a temper. I do have a temper, Lord. Calling it like it is. But it's amazing that how weak even the best of men are when they face the temptation.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.